Just a couple of notes. Kind of had a funky start to the program with some weird technical difficulties. It is an Eno Saris Smart Baseball Thursday. Eno will join us at 8:35 this morning. And we also have some more Fogarty tickets to give away when he's coming to the Rady Shell in September. Oh, I did not catch my...
Sorry about that.
There. Now I picked it up.
Yeah.
All right. I'm good now. So that's a couple of the things we have coming up for you on the program today. Again, we're just a couple of minutes from Real or Fake. If you want to try your luck to qualify for the getaway to Las Vegas, we'll play our game on a Throwback Thursday here in a couple of minutes. As I mentioned, did get some injury updates again yesterday from the San Diego Padres, including Xander Bogaerts going back out on rehab assignment with the Lake Elsinore Storm. And as I understand it, I saw a couple of videos of singles. He had two hits in the game.
Was that surprising that he played in AAA last weekend, came back to San Diego, and then went down to A-ball?
I think it's logistics because there
I'm sure he just probably had a doctor's appointment or something here in San Diego, maybe.
No, I think, remember the team was in Texas last week against the Rangers. So he had a short trip from Dallas to El Paso. Now the team's here in San Diego, so he wants to be with the Padres as much as possible. And this keeps him as close to the team as he can.
Sure.
And with an expected return, he doesn't have to go that far. It just goes up to the freeway to Lake Elsinore. He can be back. He can probably go sleep in his own bed again tonight, go back to Lake Elsinore tonight for a second game is the plan. And then likely on Friday, I would think, would be activated to return to the Padres. So he had two hits. As I was reading Matt Fryer's description of his second at-bat, I was trying to understand what happened. It sounds like he was at the plate. There was a pitch in the dirt that bounced off the catcher, like in front of the plate. And he just kind of, to try to help out, just knocked it back to the catcher.
With his bat.
With his bat.
Yep.
And the umpire called him out.
Rang him up.
For doing that.
Interference. Yeah. Yeah, can't touch. Just hands
just
up.
Just let it go. It's a live ball at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there was anyone on base, but
I don't know either. I'm assuming that there probably was.
I guess so.
It would not matter.
Kind of stupid. It didn't matter either way, but for anyone who came out to see Xander Bogaerts and wanted to see him have an at bat, and the Padres, you know, want him to get as many at bats as possible. Thank you to that umpire for, I guess, taking the bat out of his hands.
Biggest night of his life. Well, he's going to tell. I threw out Xander Bogaerts, by the way, and I texted his buddies. I just threw out Xander in a.
He wasn't ejected. He just got an at bat taken away from him.
I rung him up. I went to the rule book on him, which is fine. It's the rule.
I mean, it is the rules. Yeah. Rules are the rules.
Rules are the rules.
But it wasn't what I expected. So the other two at bats, though, went well. He played seven innings in the field. He was at second base.
Good.
Which is, one of the. Roundtable topics coming up later again is, the possibility that Ha-Sung Kim is someone you could look to make a deal on this month. Whether, it's simply because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. You can get something. You could get a reliever. You could get pitching and move Xander back to shortstop. Is that something that you think the Padres are considering going into the trade deadline? We know they're looking for help. We know they're looking for starting pitching, another bullpen arm, maybe even an outfield bat. But could they also deal from their major league roster in kind of a mixed sort of trade deadline strategy?
They could, and they probably are thinking about it. And it's not only you that hates it; it would be Manny and Toddy and Merrill and everybody.
It's a very realistic and worthy conversation.
Sure. Yeah, it's absolutely a conversation to have.
It absolutely could, and maybe in some ways should happen, but I don't like it.
I don't like it either, and those guys aren't going to like it either. So if that's the risk you're willing to run for the chemistry of the team, if you think we've got good enough chemistry.
But you throw him into a package, that could soften the blow for what you got to give up in prospect capital.
No question. But, I mean, who needs one right now? Middle infield, I would say. And actually,
He can play anywhere.
He can play three positions in the infield. So, I mean, but the glaring needs are the Los Angeles Dodgers, which I don't want to do, and the San Francisco Giants, which I also don't want to do. He can certainly sign with one of those teams in the offseason if he's a free agent and nobody signs him and trades for him and extends him right away. I doubt he would do that. But yeah, man, he's one of those guys.
Let's be honest. I don't think the Padres are going to re-sign him at the end of this offseason. And there's a good chance that one of those two teams does sign him. So if you operate from that realistic viewpoint that Ha-Sung Kim is going to be a Dodger or a Giant next season, and I'd say there's at least a coin flips chance that he will be.
It's like one of those two teams or the field.
Would you rather have something for him or just have nothing, and he's also a Dodger or a Giant? I get it seems distasteful to trade him to a division rival. But isn't it worse to let him go to a division rival for nothing when you could at least get something for him for the last couple of months here? When it's a position of strength and you have other holes and needs you need to address.
Adam says, call me crazy. Wouldn't contending teams be the only teams to trade for him? Yeah, they're both contenders.
Of course.
Those are both contenders. You're not going to ship him off to the Marlins.
The Rockies don't need him.
Nobody's going to take a rental.
But with so many teams in the mix,
there's nothing other than our visceral reaction. There's nothing worse about sending him to the Dodgers versus the Giants, versus the Reds, versus the Pirates, any team.
Adam's point, though,
that's in a playoff contender, you are going to help another team.
Right.
Now, maybe if you send him to the American League would be ideal.
What are you going to get back for him? If they're contenders, they're not going to give you, take our number three starting pitcher. Who's dealing from a position of great wealth starting pitcher-wise?
It's possible that there's some extra bullpen arms on a team somewhere.
You can get a reliever and
a prospects.
I mean, and then you put those prospects in another package to get your starting
prospects
pitcher.
To flip for pitching.
Exactly,
yeah.
Paulie. Right. It's,
get creative.
It gives you more ammunition
to
potentially pull off another deal.
All right, go fleece somebody then. I'll miss him. It's not me. I don't got to play with him every day. But those guys will tremendously. Toddy loves him. Manny loves him. Xander loves him. Jackson Merrill loves him. They all love him. They all do. Hosmer loved him when Hosmer was here. They all love him. So, again, that's the thing that you're risking, which is it's business. Ha-Sung Kim knows it's a business. Manny, all the guys I just listed that love him, they also know it's a business. They also know they play for the Padres, where you're never really safe until you get a 10-year deal.
The fact that we're having this conversation right now, and like we just mentioned, it's a very realistic possibility in the next couple of weeks. Does it make you upset that they didn't trade him in the offseason when his value was maybe at its highest?
Not really. Not really. We do have so many. It's a hindsight thing. Fritz says Kim has very little trade value. I don't believe that for a second. I really don't.
Well, any player with only 2 months has limited trade value.
Limited.
You're not going to get.
But he's got. You mean 2 months remaining.
2 months remaining on their deal. You know you're not going to get a premium package back.
But if you're the San Francisco Giants, you're like, if we trade for him, he will stay. More than likely. His best friend plays center field for them, Jung Ho Lee. Great Asian population there. Knows Bob Melvin. I mean, come on, dude. They need a... What the hell was that? They need a shortstop, you know. So I think it just really depends on the fit. I don't want to see him go. My kids don't want to see him go. They love him. They love him. He's
Ha-Sung Kim.
The fan favorite, certainly. But, yeah, I also understand you got to do what you got to do. It's just tough. It's tough to be put in this position year after year.
We went through it last year with Hader and Snell.
Yeah.
We weren't in the mix, really. We were barely hanging on. And we knew they were going to walk.
It's different this year. They're more in the mix this year than they were last year.
They really are.
But it's the same in the sense that you had two guys that you knew were going to walk, and you had those conversations last July. Should we try to get something for them, knowing we probably aren't bringing either of them back, or...
It's not the same.
And you could trade him, and then Xander gets hurt again, or Manny gets hurt, and you'll go, oh, I wish we still had Ha-Sung Kim. There's an absolute danger to trading Ha-Sung Kim.
Yep.
But there's also a chance that Xander comes back. He's playing every day. He's playing pretty well. He's got to be in the lineup. Manny's got to be in the lineup. Jake's got to be in the lineup. Ariza's got to be in the lineup. And you don't necessarily have a place for him every single day. So other than, you know, DH, but you've got Solano, who's done pretty well from the right-handed side of the plate. And it may be that he's just kind of a spare piece for the last couple of months. A good defender, but not a huge impact guy.
It'd be tough to see him go, man.
Who wants to play real or fake? Give us a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We'll get to our game in just a minute or so. I did mention Mike Schilt had the update. Joe Musgrove and did it in front of the media, threw off the mound, off a slope, as Mike Schilt called it, which is a big step. It's different than throwing on flat, different than long toss. It's different than just weighted ball. Getting up on the mound and throwing some pitches, even if it's just fastballs and not even 100% fastballs, it's a big step for Joe. And Mike Schilt said, the next step, we'll see how does he recover. How does he feel the next day? And the next day, if it goes well, then he'll take the next step and the next step. And so far, he is taking every step they want him to see. Not going to be back, you know, next week. He's on the 60-day. Won't be back until likely at least August. But so far, so good in his progression back. In the, you know, crossing your fingers that Joe could be part of this team the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we need all the help we can get right now. All the help we can get. Our buddy Mike, who's a huge Ha-Sung Kim fan, and hey, don't get me wrong, Mikey, I am too. He said, Kim's the ninth best shortstop in all of baseball. He has the second highest F4 on the Padres. Sorry, but it's moronic to trade him if you're trying to
That's
compete.
Also why you might be able to get something for him. Correct. Other teams realize that as well.
Yeah. I saw people, and I know we're going to get to really fake here, I also saw people talking about he has a mutual option.
Yeah.
So what does that mean when you trade somebody with a mutual option? Does it work the same way with the new team?
Like yeah, they contract can, yeah. just transfer.
Both so sides. Mm-hmm.
They would have the decision whether or not they want to pick up the option
for
or
seven,
not.
For another $7 million.
My guess is that that's not enough for Ha-Sung Kim to pick it up. He should be in line for a raise.
Yes, yeah, a raise.
Based on what he's done the last four seasons. Maybe not a huge one, but he's probably, I don't know, $12 to $15 million player a year. So I would say he would decline that option.
Right. Yep.
Padres might pick it up.
Sure.
If he wanted to, but I doubt he will for just one season because he's in line for a multi-year deal, more money, no reason for him to take the option. Yeah. So I don't think that really is relevant. All right. I see some callers on the line. It is time to play today's game of Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
All right, let's try to qualify someone for our grand prize drawing. It's a two-night stay at the Rio Las Vegas. Dinner for two, day bed at the Rio pool. The Rio is back. New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four sparkling new pools, and a brand new food hall. The Rhythm of Vegas. Book now at reallasvegas.com. I'm just taking one at random here. Let's go. Is this Jason?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Jason. Welcome to Real or Fake. Today's game is all about 1984. Yesterday, Padres honoring their 1984 National League Championship team. Paulie, where were you in 1984?
6 years from being a thought.
Not even born.
Wow.
Woodsy, you were not in San Diego at the time. But
no.
You should be able to help here. So,
is this about baseball or the year 1984?
What else happened in the world of sports in 1984?
Oh,
today on Real or Fake,
okay.
I will give you a statement. You tell me if it's real, true, Jason, or fake, false, about the year 1984. Woodsy can help you if you'd like as well. You ready to play?
I'm ready to go.
All right,
let's do it.
Four out of seven is good enough to win. All right, round number one. Real or fake? In January, the Los Angeles Raiders won Super Bowl 18. Real or fake, Jason?
Woodsy, do you have any idea on this one?
I think it's real.
He thinks it's real. Jason, what are you going to go with?
Noted Raiders fan, Steve Woods.
Huge.
Let's go with real.
It is real, yeah. The L.A. Raiders, Super Bowl champions. The Washington Football Club.
Washington Redskins.
Yes, they were the Redskins
time.
At the time. That's
Remember
one.
That.
Good to go. All right, let's go to round number two. Real or fake? The 1984 Winter Olympics were held in Calgary, Canada. Real or fake, Jason?
Ooh, I'm thinking real. What do you think, Woodsy?
I'm rolling with you, dog. I got no idea.
Jason, what do you think?
All right, let's go real.
Oh, Calgary was 1988. Sarajevo, Yugoslavia in 1984. There were Winter Olympics. That was when they were all in the same year. Not in different years.
Yeah.
Remember, they used to be all in the same year. All right, that's one. We'll go to round number three here. Jack Nicklaus wins his final major title at the Masters. Real or fake in 1984, Jason?
Oof. I'm thinking real. You have any insight with?
Bro, my gut is telling. All right, so in 84, I was nine. My dad, noted Jack Nicklaus hater. I feel like I didn't even meet my dad till I was 10. And I feel like Nicholas won after I met my dad.
He's got some deductive reasoning going on.
I'm gonna say fake, bro. I think he won one after this.
Jason?
I hope I'm not wrong, but that's just my gut.
Okay. I'm rolling with Rick.
All right.
Ooh. Yeah, remember his comeback? Yes, sir. That was 1986. Yeah. You're right. After you met your dad.
Yes. Yes.
That is correct.
Yes.
All right. Fake.
My dad loathes that man. Loathes
him. What did Jack Nicklaus do to Gary Woods?
I can't stand him. He's an Arnie guy. Arnold Palmer.
All right, let's go to round number four. You got two correct. BYU is crowned college football national champions by the Associated Press after their win in the Holiday Bowl. Real or fake, Jason?
You know, for some reason, I'm going to say real on that one.
He's going to say real. Woods is shaking his head. No. And Woods, you're wrong.
Oh, no.
It's real.
I thought it was 80.
No, that was 84. Yeah, they won it here in San Diego in the Holiday Bowl.
Who was quarterback?
That wasn't Jim McMahon. No.
No.
Bernie Kosar? No.
No, Bernie played at Miami.
Was quarterback for BYU?
For BYU Bosco? In 1984?
Robbie Bosco. After
all, right, all you need
graduated.
Is one more.
One more gets it done.
And gets it done. All right, real or fake, Jason? Wayne Gretzky leads the Edmonton Oilers to a Stanley Cup title. Real or fake?
Oh, let's see. I know he's got traded to the Kings shortly after that. I think it was like 86. You know, I'm going to go real on that one.
He's going to go real. Woods shaking his head again. And Woods, you are wrong again.
Oh,
that was a Gretzky Oilers year. And that is it. That's a win, Jason. Congratulations.
Good job,
hang on the line, Paul. We'll get your information. A well-played game. A couple more here. Let's try Akeem Olajuwon, Michael Jordan, and Charles Barkley. We're all taken in the top five of the NBA draft.
Yes, true.
That is true. 1984. And former USC football star O.J. Simpson lit the Olympic cauldron at the L.A. Coliseum to begin the 1984 Summer Games.
True.
False. It was Rafer Johnson. Oh. Although O.J. did carry the torch through Los Angeles.
O.J. did a lot of stuff in Los Angeles.
He did.
Yeah.
Did not light the Olympic flame, though, in 1984. Well played game, Jason. Congratulations. We'll put you into the drawing for the trip to the real Las Vegas. All right, we'll come back. We've got Don't Do This is coming up next.
There's a lot of, I think for Do This, there's a lot of U.S. men's soccer fans, U.S. men's team soccer
happy.
Fans that are very happy today.
Probably a lot of soccer talk in our next segment because there was a big Don't Do This moment in Charlotte last night. In the Copa America as well. Get to that coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. It's thecrafttaco.com. Woods?
It was all over my Twitter feed last night. Everyone was sending it to me. Woodsy, DDT, DDT. Yeah, I'm talking about the Copa America semifinals last night in Charlotte. Uruguay players, including Darwin Nunez, went into the stands, Ben, and fought Colombia supporters. And it got pretty ugly. It reminded everybody of the Malice at the Palace, which there's a great documentary. I don't know where it is. I think maybe it's on ESPN. Maybe it's on Netflix. They talked about, you know, Ron Artest going into the stands, and that you saw the thing, the drinks flying and people ganging up and just fights, punch, fights, back up. Look, I mean, it's something that is so gnarly to think about being in the middle of.
It really established the ultimate rule is that if you're a player, you can never go into the stands.
You have to turn
the other cheek. No matter what they're saying to you, even if they're throwing things at you, you can't go after fans. But in this case, I'm not entirely sure that is true, because the reason they went into the stands, Woods, this was the small section where the Uruguayan families
Correct.
Were sitting. And they saw their families getting into fights with Colombia's fans. And people were throwing things and throwing punches. And you can make the case that they were simply going up to protect their families, which honestly, I don't know that I can totally blame them for.
No, and you know, they were really, really hot too about losing that game. It's chippy, and you see that, you know, you see the play on the field get chippy is one thing. Then you see and you hear the fans going nuts. I mean, it is like, I was thinking about it last night. I don't know that SDFC games are ever going to get like this wild, Benny, but the potential, I guess, is always there. It's just nuts.
And, you know, maybe there's some don't do this for the security and not keeping the fans a little more in line in the stands. Something went wrong last night, though.
One of Uruguay's players, Jose Jimenez, blamed the incident on lack of security, saying he went over there to protect his family, accusing fans of drinking too much and starting trouble. This is a disaster. Our families are in danger. Not one single policeman. Woo! It was the video. And, of course, you know what happens. The one video comes out, and then you start getting videos from inside the eye of the fight. Everyone starts posting theirs. It was bananas, man. I'm too old for that mess.
All right, this one a little more lighthearted when it comes to DDT, but I mean, serious to the competitors just the same. So
this story gave me strong vibes of the fish weights.
Yes,
last fish summer. Weight vibe.
Yes, you're right. Kind of a similar type of story. So, of course, last Thursday was the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest, 4th of July at Coney Island. No Joey Chestnut, didn't compete, had the whole plant-based endorsement that kept him out. Patrick Bertoletti won with 58 hot dogs won, but one of the top finishers was Nick Wary, who was given a score of 51.75. After the fact, though, and here's the don't do this, according to the New York Post, a couple of anonymous sources say that Wary, after the competition was over, walked around and grabbed someone else's empty plate and added it to his pile. And that is how they do the original count. Every hot dog plate has 5 hot dogs on it. So if you have like 10 empty plates, that's 50 right off the bat. And then they look at what's remaining in front of you and go, and you ate 2.5 more there, so 52.5. So
they did the original count, and he had
46, and then 9 plates, and all of a sudden they did a recount, they had 10 plates, and they added 5 to his total. Well, they did an investigation, and the results are a little unclear. Major League Eating, the governing body, says they don't change results after they're already official, but they're not saying whether or not they think he did it or not. He denies that he cheated, although says if they want to lower his score by 5, he's okay with it as well.
Well, that makes no sense.
No sense at all, right?
No sense whatsoever.
So
there's a hot dog investigation on this?
A hot dog investigation, yeah.
They had a hot dog investigator.
Wouldn't you know how many hot dogs you ate? Or once you get to that point, you've kind of lost track in your mind.
You black out.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a... People need to be...
It's like a count. I thought they had like official counters who were there watching them swallow and then like open their mouth and like, okay, it's gone. Here's another one. Yeah. 2, 3.
Right.
I didn't realize it was simply counting empty plates.
Right.
That's how they did it.
I had no idea either. I also didn't think people would put weights into the belly of a bass. But listen, you know, people are weird. They're very, very strange.
They like to win.
Anything to win, man. They're always looking for that
edge.
Winning
doesn't mean anything if you cheated to win.
I guess not.
Then
you
don't really crave winning. You crave the attention and accolades, but not the actual accomplishment.
But the thing is, like with the fishing story, it's not like...
The prize.
But it's the prize. But it's not like those guys were like... It's not like the other guys go, man, we work so much harder than you did. Like, we put in the work.
There is training involved in the hot dog eating.
There is, but these guys, in hot dog eating, but like in the... Man, we put in all the hard work, and you guys threw the... Well, we were out there fishing, too. We just put weights in our fish, but like, you didn't put in extra hours. You know, it's not like steroids.
Fishing's
or something
one
like
of
that.
Those weird sports that, to me, feels like, okay, everyone goes out there and it's just kind of luck who gets the heaviest fish, right?
I mean,
you can't see the
fish
heaviest, underwater.
Right, yeah, but...
When it's about who gets the heaviest fish... Feels like it's entirely luck,
right.
But like poker, where you have to get the right cards, the same guys do tend to win, though,
they
those
do.
Fishing competitions. So there has to be some sort of skill.
They know where they are.
Involved.
Yeah. And they know how to, I don't know.
Reel them in somehow.
But like weighting down a fish is not, it's not this, like you didn't cheat you didn't cheat like yourself of like hard work. You know what I mean? Like, man, this was a real short.
You had to work harder to weigh down the fish.
Yes, you had to work harder to like try to get that through. One of my favorite stories that we've ever done on the show. All right, how about a little doo-doo this? I know many people have
been about
this.
Mega doo-doo.
The U.S. Soccer Federation announced yesterday that Greg Berhalter, much, much maligned Greg Berhalter, has been relieved of his duties as head coach of the U.S. men's national team, effective immediately yesterday. And U.S. Soccer Sporting Director
Matt... That'll change things, right?
Yeah, now it'll be on the right track. Probably okay. Matt Crocker will lead and has launched a search for Berhalter's replacement. Many people talking about Jurgen Klopp as the next potential... coach of men's soccer in America. And I don't know.
He's like the dream get.
He's the dream get. Yeah. Yeah. So, but a lot of people were very happy to see this reign come to an end. And I think I believe it. It was on social media, so it must be true. Somebody said that Gio Reyna, about 6 minutes after it was announced, hit it on Instagram with the like, you know, like, all right, good, get him out of here. They notoriously butted heads. So, yeah, man, we'll see who they get. But now when the Klopp rumor is out there, and if you aren't able to afford him or get him, you do the thing what the Lakers did, where you're like, oh.
It's funny, there's very few actual American candidates to coach the U.S. national team. I think Steve Cherundolo is one of the names that's brought up.
You just made that up.
I did not make that up. He's won the MLS title, played for the U.S. national team. But most of the major coaches that we're going after are not Americans. They're from other countries where they do soccer better than we do.
Yeah. Hector really wants to call in on this. 833-288-0973. He's in my DMs all day. You can call in and give your take if
all
you
right.
like.
More soccer talk.
More
we
soccer
can have
talk.
More soccer talk. But right now, that is Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Bonus Do This to Tim Flannery for a very nice rendition of the national anthem yesterday on the 1984 throwback day for the San Diego Padres.
Good week for Timmy.
Bonus Don't Do This, and I'll ask Woods why. I thought you were going to be there.
Yeah, we pulled the ripcord about halfway there.
Like you were on the way.
Yeah.
Does this require a story, an explanation?
I mean, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old.
You just weren't feeling it.
No, I mean, by the time we hit the split, we looked at Waze, and it was still an hour. We were going to be late for the national anthem anyway.
That's why you were probably going.
By the time we hit the split, it was still an hour. And I was like...
It's a traffic issue.
Yeah, so I...
It wasn't a behavioral issue.
Not really. I mean...
Hannah was being good.
There's always behavioral issues. Always. It never ends. And we went home, and it was good. I got to go watch the game.
Yeah.
And actually pay attention, so it was fine. I gave the tickets to Tier 1.
You did, which was nice of you.
Yeah, he was very happy.
Until, of course, he had to sit through a 2-0 loss.
Fair enough. I was playing chess, not checkers, by not going to that game.
All right, we'll come back. I've got a 1984 roundtable question for you as well to get to. Coming up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Star 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by the Frozen Ropes baseball and softball training facilities. Frozen Ropes now signing up athletes age 6 through 12, baseball and softball summer camps. Half-day, full-day options available. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer. For more information, visit SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. That's SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. Yes, Steve Cherundolo is a real person. Went to Mount Carmel High School. He's local. Played for the U.S. national team as one of the candidates to be the coach. Now, Hector didn't call in. You gave him actually permission to call in.
He does this all the time. He does
talk some soccer this morning. Don't know why you did. That was very unlike you. It's not like you want to take this show on a giant soccer tangent.
I don't, but he's DM'd the Ben and Woods account. He's DM'd my account. Let's go. Can I tell you? Yes. Yes.
Well, I am now putting an end to the offer.
It's
now
it's over.
Too late.
Sorry,
it's too late because we're moving on, and we're going to talk some more baseball here.
The dictator has spoken.
Specifically, a little 1984 Padres question for you. We'll do that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Got it.
So the Padres had a number of the 1984 alums out yesterday as they gave away the throwback hats. Saw many stars from that team. Tempe was on the TV broadcast. Dave Dravecki was there. Terry Kennedy, obviously. Tim Flannery was there and performed the national anthem, which was fantastic. And, of course, the Garve was there.
Mm-hmm.
Senatorial candidate Steve Garvey. And this one always is a dilemma for me. And I'm going to bring it up at the roundtable later today. But it's something Padres fans have been talking about for years and years and years. And nothing ever changes, but we keep talking about it. That is, should the San Diego Padres unretire the number six that they retired for Steve Garvey? Can you unretire a number?
I don't think you can once it's retired. Well, I mean, other than like a murderer,
O.J. Simpson.
Right?
I'm
not doing this again. I stepped in this
authentically unretire a number.
You knew this too, by the way. How dare you ask this question? You knew what happened to me. Remember?
I remember.
I don't remember.
You absolutely do. Turn the mics off.
I have a very short memory.
Yeah.
Okay. Ultimately,
I'll say it. I think it was a stupid decision in the beginning.
Right, but
I'm not saying a word. I'm pleading the fifth.
It's one of my fondest memories as a Padres fan.
That's what a lot of people say that were there.
Was the home
remember.
Run in 1984 and in game four of the National League Championship Series.
Was that the first number?
When I see the number six, even though I know Steve Garvey's more of a Dodger than a Padre. And I know what you're saying, Paul. That
was the first number they retired?
That maybe, was it the, I think Dave Winfield maybe was, no, maybe it was Gar. I don't remember. It may have been even before they, because they
Dave
put
Winfield,
it up,
the
they
Yankees.
Put the six up at the queue on the wall where the home run went out. It was almost more like to mark the spot than necessarily as a true full number retirement. But it is one of my absolute fondest childhood memories, is that home run.
When they played it yesterday.
It's so cool.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. The Oppo, Lee Smith.
I'm not a Gar fan anymore. He's too much of a Dodger for me, obviously, you know. Gets political now as well.
14 years with the Dodgers.
Remember when he came into the old show on the old station and brought us King's Hawaiian rolls?
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty solid. And he made a video for my mom, who, by the way, absolutely loves Steve Garvey, as did everybody's mom. And
that was
a fond memory. Yeah. You know, we had just started as a show, and he came in.
Such
and
a dilemma
was great
for me.
He was great to interview.
And you know what? I think we should retire Jake Cronenworth's number for that double he hit against the Dodgers. Let's retire Josh Hader's number because he struck out the side in the NLCS back in 2022. That was pretty cool. We should retire his number.
I think it's a really hard question because I don't blame Padres fans who don't feel like it fits necessarily, you know, having Garvey mentioned alongside Tony Gwynn and Dave Winfield and Randy Jones. It's the old Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other, and you got to pick the one out of the four that doesn't really match. Garv doesn't really match the other ones. I get that. I totally get Padres fans who say that.
It's got to be weird as hell for him, too, right?
I would think so.
To come back and be like, oh, hi, everybody. But then again, I mean,
I guarantee you ask him, he's a Dodger.
Adulation.
Yes, he is. So, he's absolutely a Dodger.
Which is fine.
It is one of my absolute best Padres memories of my life. It was that when you're that age, what was I, like nine, and you're just really getting into baseball, and all of a sudden your team, which has never been good, never made the playoffs in your lifetime or in your dad's lifetime, and he's been going to the game since they started.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're in the playoffs, and they're down 2-0, and no one's surprised. Oh, they're going to get swept. This was a nice little story. And then they come back, but it looks like it's going to be over. The game, you know, you're moments away from being eliminated from the Cubs, and he steps up and hits that home run.
Lee Smith, by the way. Lee Smith.
You know, it's
nasty.
I loved the, you know, Jake's hit in the big inning against the Dodgers, beating him in the playoff series. It was amazing. There's been many amazing moments in Padres history. It's hard not to say that's still not the most amazing, incredible moment in Padres history.
Yeah.
It was a walk-off home run to save them in the National League Championship Series, and then they went on to go to the World Series the next day.
I know.
And the franchise history is totally different if he doesn't hit that home run. Totally different. Did it deserve a number retirement? I don't know. Probably not, but I'm really hesitant to go to the whole length of then unretiring it now that it's retired.
To me, that was putting a big spotlight on the lack of history up until that point, which is fine. If you didn't have a reason to retire a number, you shouldn't just come up with one. Like,
yeah, I think, Paulie, you make a good point.
Like, Tony Gwynn, absolutely, number
but
retired.
But they didn't have no Tony Gwynn back then.
I know, yeah. But when he came in and his career was over,
I think, yeah. Given,
no-brainer. Trevor Hoffman,
number 51.
Given,
like, the perspective of history, and now that you have Trevor and you have Tony and you have more things about your franchise, you probably wouldn't have gone back and done that. But, what a moment that was.
Yeah, can you put that toothpaste back in the tube? I don't know that you can, you know, unless, like you said, cut somebody's head off or something, you know?
There's certainly never going to be an unretirement ceremony.
No! Oh my God!
Jerry Rice caught touchdowns with the Oakland Raiders across the bay. They going to retire his jersey?
Padres fans...
They had history, though.
...who are advocating for this. You have to know. They're never it's going to have a big news conference and announce it's going to be unretired.
No.
The most you could ever hope for is it's kind of somewhat... ignore it a little bit in the future, but I don't even think that's going to happen. They have a big, giant six statue there as you walk into Petco Park.
Again, I wasn't alive when this all happened, so maybe my perspective doesn't count. But it just seems like at that point, they're going, we haven't retired anybody's number yet. We've been around for 30 years. What are we going to do? That's a great opportunity.
There was an element of that. Even at the time, I could tell there was an element of that to it. Didn't feel like that slam dunk, like other teams, when they retire someone's number, you know, it's usually because they had a long stretch career. All their entire career with that team, or most of their Hall of Fame career, was with that team. That wasn't Garve's case. It was the end of his career that was spent, obviously, mostly with your rival.
Carlos, I guess someone stole it.
The guy that made the original, we can't find him. So we're just going to...
So he goes into the dead of night.
We're going to get crazy. We'll get around to replacing it one day, I'm sure. No. It's not. We haven't unretired
it. Oh, crap, dude. That killed me. I don't know what happened. Somebody must have stolen it, grabbed it as a memento.
Whether you like it or not, Steve Garvey is in part of Padres history.
Sure.
That will never change. Like him or not like him, like the fact that the six is there, or probably you don't, it's never changing. No. That he is always going to be a big part of Padres history and a good part of it as well. That's the thing. We're not talking about someone who did anything bad. This was an awesome thing that he did, and he played well for the Padres when he was here. He did. He absolutely did. And it's not like we over-celebrate things too much in San Diego when it comes to sports. You know, that we have very few things that we actually can look back on fondly over the last 50 years of sports, mostly misery and failure. This is one of the really, really, really good things that happened in San Diego sports. But a lot of people just want to kind of shove it under the rug because, obviously, he also played most of his career with another team.
How dare you, man? How dare you? I mean, literally.
I mean, they didn't even go on to win the World Series.
Right.
I think that element changes things a little bit, too.
Right.
But, again, I was 6 years from being born, so...
Yeah, you don't get
I guess
a,
I don't
get
to
get
say
a
anything.
Say.
But I think it was kind of...
All right, here's the other question that I have from 1984 that's coming into the roundtable. So, if you could add one player from the 1984 Padres to this Padres team for the last 2.5 months of the season, who would you pick? And you can say Tony Gwynn. Obviously, you're taking 1984 Tony Gwynn, who's a batting champion.
Yeah, we need a right fielder.
And you do need a right fielder right now. But Tatis is coming back. Don't you need to pitching more, though?
I want Tony Gwynn in right field for this team today. Today would be great.
You wouldn't want a solid starter? Like put Eric Schau out there every fifth day?
No, I would take Tony Gwynn over Eric Schau every fifth day. Yes. As much as we need pitching, give me Tony Gwynn all day long. All day long. It's not even close.
And then when Tatis comes back, where do we... Do we move Tony?
Yeah, move Tony.
Make him the DH?
DH.
We also have Luis Arraez, though, who's going to be DHing.
Be first baseman.
Which one do you have on the bench, Tony Gwynn or Luis Arraez, comes back?
Put those dudes one and two in the order. The pitcher's like, son of a bitch, there's nothing I can throw. Like, you're dead. You just don't even split them up. I just go back to back. First, third, just like that.
Gwynn Arraez.
Gwynn Arraez, bum. They're done. Or Arraez, Gwynn. Done.
1984, Tony had a lot of speed. I think you put him first.
I'd love it.
And then you have Arraez.
I would love
Move Tony first to third. That would be pretty devastating.
That would be pretty nasty, dude. Goose wouldn't be the...
You Goose need bullpen help.
He Goose, wouldn't be the worst pick
multiple
either.
Innings.
He'll go two, three, yep. Whatever you need. Beat the crap out of the other team if need be. Like, he's
I'd have to cover him the last couple of months of the year. That would be awkward.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm interested to see what everyone says on the roundtable. Not
it's
interested
gonna be
enough
a,
to listen, but
it's going
to
be a draft format, so you're not allowed to pick who the last person picked. Okay. So you know, I assume Tony Gwynn's going to be chosen first.
I would.
In fact, I'll let Tony Gwynn make the first pick there. Because presumably he's going to take his dad in that situation, which will...
He's like, no, Craig Lefferts, I'll take Kerry Kennedy. Great leader. What? He's your dad right there. That was great.
TK's not a horrible choice either.
Isn't he? I saw...
That's my manager.
What are you doing to TK?
I saw...
Because he traded you?
Yeah. Me and him just don't get along. It's fine. He's a big personality. I'm a big personality. It doesn't always work. I saw Tempe yesterday on the broadcast, man, and I loved it. I love Tempe so much. Listening to him tell some old stories about, you know, Dick Williams and all the guys. It was great. I know people get tired of celebrating a World Series loss. I was kind of felt that way. I didn't live here at the time. But when we did that freaking roundtable last year at Fantasy Camp and we listened to all those stories, there was nothing like it. I could have sat there for another 2 hours. My man Ben moderated the whole thing. It was so good. And you see these guys and how appreciative they are of their time here and what it meant to them. It was awesome.
Adam's making fun of me. He goes, a fifth starter or a first ballot Hall of Famer? Eric Schaub, 1984. 15 wins, 3.4 ERA, 206 innings pitched. I mean, that's better. I mean, we're talking about a frontline starter that you could add to your rotation.
It's Tony Gwynn, dude.
I get it. It was 1984. He wasn't a Hall of Famer yet. He was only in his second season.
Batting champion and speedy, you said.
I get it.
So
I get it.
I'm all in. All right. Tony Gwynn.
All right, that's all coming up at 10 o'clock in our roundtable. Next, though, we've got Eno Saris in our 8 o'clock hour and more. All coming up here with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Star 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by the Frozen Ropes baseball and softball training facilities. Frozen Ropes now signing up athletes age 6 through 12. Baseball and softball summer camps. Half-day, full-day options available. Make it a Frozen Ropes summer. For more information, visit SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. That's SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. Yes, Steve Cherundolo is a real person. Went to Mount Carmel High School. He's local. Played for the U.S. national team. Is one of the candidates to be the coach. Now, Hector didn't call in. You gave him actually permission to call in.
He does this all the time. He does
talk some soccer this
morning.
Don't know why you did. That was very unlike you. It's not like you want to take this show on a giant soccer tangent.
I don't, but he's DM'd the Benham Woods account. He's DM'd my account. Let's go. Can I tell you? Yes. Yes.
Well, I am now putting an end to the offer.
It's
now
it's over.
Too late.
Sorry,
it's too late because we're moving on. And we're going to talk some more baseball here.
The dictator has spoken.
Specifically, a little 1984 Padres question for you. We'll do that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Got it.
So the Padres had a number of the 1984 alums out yesterday as they gave away the throwback hats. Saw many stars from that team. Tempe was on the TV broadcast. Dave Dravecki was there. Terry Kennedy, obviously. Tim Flannery was there and performed the national anthem, which was fantastic. And, of course, the Garve was there.
Mm-hmm.
Senatorial candidate Steve Garvey. And this one always is a dilemma for me. And I'm going to bring it up at the roundtable later today. But it's something Padres fans have been talking about for years and years and years. And nothing ever changes, but we keep talking about it. That is, should the San Diego Padres unretire the number 6 that they retired for Steve Garvey? Can you unretire a number?
I don't think you can.
Once it's retired.
Well, I mean, other than murderer,
O.J. Simpson.
Right?
Do you ever?
I'm not doing this again. I stepped in this
authentically unretire a number.
You knew this too, by the way. How dare you ask this question? You knew what happened to me. Remember?
I remember.
I don't remember.
You absolutely do. Turn the mics off.
I have a very short memory.
Turn the mics off.
Yeah. Okay. Ultimately,
I'll say it. I think it was a stupid decision in the beginning.
Right, but
I'm not saying a word. I'm pleading the fifth.
It's one of my fondest memories as a Padres fan.
That's what a lot of people say that were there.
Was the home run in 1984 in game four of the National League Championship Series.
Was that the first number?
When I see the number six, even though I know Steve Garvey's more of a Dodger than a Padre. And I know what you're saying, Paul. That
was the first number they retired?
That maybe, was it the, I think Dave Winfield maybe was, no, maybe it was Gar. I don't remember. It may have been even before they, because they
Dave
put
Winfield,
it up,
the
they
Yankees.
Put the six up at the queue on the wall where the home run went out. It was almost more like to mark the spot than necessarily as a true full number retirement. But it is one of my absolute fondest childhood memories, is that home run.
When they played it yesterday.
It's so cool.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. The Oppo, Lee Smith.
And of course, I'm not a Gar fan anymore. He's too much of a Dodger for me. Obviously, you know, gets political now as well.
He played 14 years with the Dodgers.
Remember when he came into the old show on the old station and brought us King's Hawaiian rolls?
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty solid. And he made a video for my mom, who, by the way, absolutely loves Steve Garvey, as did everybody's mom. And
that was
a fond memory. Yeah. You know, we had just started as a show,
and
he came in.
Such a
dilemma
for me.
He was great to interview.
And you know what? I think we should retire Jake Cronenworth's number for that double he hit against the Dodgers. Let's retire Josh Hader's number because he struck out the side in the NLCS back in 2022. That was pretty cool. We should retire his number.
I think it's a really hard question because I don't blame Padres fans who don't feel like it fits necessarily, you know, having Garvey mentioned alongside Tony Gwynn and Dave Winfield and Randy Jones. It's the old Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other, and you got to pick the one out of the four that doesn't really match. Garv doesn't really match the other ones. I get that. I totally get Padres fans who say that.
It's got to be weird as hell for him, too, right?
I would think so.
To come back and be like, oh, hi, everybody. But then again, I mean,
I guarantee you ask him, he's a Dodger.
Adulation's.
Yes, he is. So, yeah, he's absolutely a Dodger.
Which is fine.
It is one of my absolute best Padres memories of my life. It was that, when you're that age, what was I, like
nine,
and you're just really getting into baseball, and all of a sudden your team, which has never been good, never made the playoffs in your lifetime or in your dad's lifetime, and he's been going to the game since they started.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're in the playoffs, and they're down 2-0, and no one's surprised. Oh, they're going to get swept. This was a nice little story. And then they come back, but it looks like it's going to be over. The game, you know, you're moments away from being eliminated from the Cubs, and he steps up and hits that home run.
Lee Smith, by the way.
You know, it's
nasty.
You know, I love the you know, Jake's hit in the big inning against the Dodgers, beating him in the playoff series. It was amazing. There's been many amazing moments in Padres history. It's hard not to say that's still not the most amazing, incredible moment in Padres history.
Yeah.
It was a walk-off home run to save them in the National League Championship Series, and then they went on to go to the World Series the next day.
I know.
And the franchise history is totally different if he doesn't hit that home run. Totally different. Did it deserve a number retirement? I don't know. Probably not, but I'm really hesitant to go to the whole length of then unretiring it now that it's retired.
To me, that was putting a big spotlight on the lack of history up until that point, which is fine. If you didn't have a reason to retire a number, you shouldn't just come up with one.
Yeah, I think, Paulie, you make a good point.
Like, Tony Gwynn, absolutely, number
but
retired.
But they didn't have Tony Gwynn back then.
I know, yeah. But when he came in and his career was over,
I think.
No-brainer. Trevor Hoffman,
given, like,
51.
The perspective of history, and now that you have Trevor and you have Tony, and, you have more things about your franchise, you probably wouldn't have gone back and done that. But what a moment that was.
Yeah, can you put that toothpaste back in the tube? I don't know that you can, you know, unless, like you said, cut somebody's head off or something, you know?
There's certainly never going to be an unretirement ceremony.
No! Oh my God!
Jerry Rice caught touchdowns with the Oakland Raiders across the bay. Are they going to retire his jersey?
Padres fans...
They had history, though.
...who are advocating for this. You have to know. They're never going to have a big news conference and announce it's going to be unretired.
No.
The most you could ever hope for is it's kind of somewhat... ignore it a little bit in the future, but I don't even think that's going to happen. They have a big, giant six statue there as you walk into Petco Park.
Again, I wasn't alive when this all happened, so maybe my perspective doesn't count. But it just seems like at that point, they're going, we haven't retired anybody's number yet. We've been around for 30 years. What are we going to do? That's a great opportunity.
There was an element of that. Even at the time, I could tell. There was an element of that to it. Didn't feel like that slam dunk, like... other teams, when they retire someone's number, you know, it's usually because they had a long stretch career. All their entire career with that team, or most of their Hall of Fame career, was with that team. That wasn't Garve's case. It was the end of his career that was spent, obviously, mostly with your rival.
Carlos, I guess someone stole it.
The guy that made the original, we can't find him. So we're just going
to... So he goes into the dead of night.
We're going to get crazy. We'll get around to replacing it one day, I'm sure. No. It's not... We haven't unretired.
Oh, crap, dude. That killed me. Garm, I don't know what happened. Somebody must have stolen it, grabbed it as a memento.
Whether you like it or not, Steve Garvey is in part of Padres history.
Sure.
That will never change. Like him or not like him, like the fact that the six is there or probably you don't, it's never changing.
No.
That he is always going to be a big part of Padres history and a good part of it as well. That's the thing. We're not talking about someone who did anything bad. This was an awesome thing that he did, and he played well for the Padres when he was here. He did. He absolutely did. And... it's not like we over-celebrate things too much in San Diego when it comes to sports. You know, we have very few things that we actually can look back on fondly over the last 50 years of sports, mostly misery and failure. This is one of the really, really, really good things that happened in San Diego sports. But a lot of people just want to kind of shove it under the rug because obviously he also played most of his career with another team.
How dare you, man? How dare you? I mean, literally.
I mean, they didn't even go on to win the World Series.
Right.
I think that element changes things a little bit, too.
Right.
But, again, I was 6 years from being born, so...
yeah, you don't get
I guess
a,
I don't get to
get
say
a
anything.
Say.
But I think it was kind of...
All right, here's the other question that I have from 1984 that's coming into the roundtable. So, if you could add one player from the 1984 Padres to this Padres team for the last 2.5 months of the season, who would you pick? And you can say Tony Gwynn. Obviously, you're taking 1984 Tony Gwynn, who is a batting champion.
Yeah, we need a right fielder.
And you do need a right fielder right now. But Tatis is coming back. Don't you need to pitching more, though?
I want Tony Gwynn in right field for this team today. Today would be great.
You wouldn't want a solid starter? Like put Eric Schau out there every fifth day?
No, I would take Tony Gwynn over Eric Schau every fifth day. Yes. As much as we need pitching, give me Tony Gwynn all day long. All day long. It's not even close.
And then when Tatis comes back, where do we... Do we move Tony?
Yeah, move Tony.
Make him the DH?
DH.
We also have Luis Arraez, though, who's going to be DHing.
He's going to be first baseman.
Which one do you have on the bench? Tony Gwynn or Luis Arraez comes back?
Put those dudes 1 and 2 in the order. The pitcher's like, son of a bitch! There's nothing I can throw. Like, you're dead. Don't even split them up. I just go back to back. First, third, just like that.
Gwynn Arraez.
Boom. They're done. Or Arraez, Gwynn. Done.
1984 Tony had a lot of speed. I think you put him first.
I'd love it.
And then you have Arraez.
I would love
Move Tony first to third. That would be pretty devastating.
That would be pretty nasty, dude. But Goose wouldn't be the.
You need some bullpen help.
He wouldn't be the worst pick.
Multiple
either.
Innings.
He'll go 2, 3, yep. Whatever you need. Beat the crap out of the other team if need be. Like he's.
I'd have to cover him the last couple of months of the year. That would be awkward.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm interested to see what everyone says on the roundtable. Not
it's
interested
gonna be
enough
a,
to listen. But
it's going
to
be a draft format, so you're not allowed to pick. Who the last person picked? Okay. So you know, I assume Tony Gwynn's going to be chosen first.
I would.
In fact, I'll let Tony Gwynn make the first pick there, because presumably he's going to take
his dad
in that situation, which will.
He's like, no, Craig Lefferts. I'll take Kerry Kennedy, great leader. What? He's your dad right there. That was great.
TK's not a horrible choice either,
isn't he? I saw it was
my manager.
What are you doing to TK?
I saw
because he traded you.
Yeah. Me and him just don't get along. It's fine. He's a big personality. I'm a big personality. It doesn't always work. I saw Tempe yesterday on the broadcast, man, and I loved it. I love Tempe so much. Listening to him tell some old stories about, you know, Dick Williams and all the guys. It was great. I know people get tired of celebrating a World Series loss. I was kind of felt that way. I didn't live here at the time. But when we did that freaking roundtable last year at Fantasy Camp and we listened to all those stories, there was nothing like it. I could have sat there for another 2 hours. My man Ben moderated the whole thing. It was so good. And you see these guys and how appreciative they are of their time here and what it meant to them. It was awesome.
Adam's making fun of me. He goes, a fifth starter or a first ballot Hall of Famer? Eric Schaub, 1984. 15 wins, 3-4 ERA, 206 innings pitched. I mean, that's better. I mean, we're talking about a frontline starter that you could add to your rotation.
It's Tony Gwynn, dude.
I get it. It was 1984. He wasn't a Hall of Famer yet. He was only in second season.
Batting champion and speedy, you said.
I get it.
So
I get it.
I'm all in. All right. Tony Gwynn.
All right, that's all coming up at 10 o'clock in our roundtable. Next, though, we've got Eno Saris in our 8 o'clock hour and more. All coming up here with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan.